been a long day. Grab a beer and sit back. It's time for Brew Talk. Here's Scott Chan and the Brew Doctor himself, Dr. Michael Mosier.
Welcome into Brew Talk here on 1310 KFKA. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios in the brand new Aloe. I don't know how long they're going to be brand new.
Not quite downtown.
Not quite downtown anymore. Although I keep wanting to say downtown. Gentlemen, how are we doing this evening?
It's a good time for a beer because it's been a long week so far.
It has been a long week so far.
And it's been hot.
Just like
Africa hot.
It's like...
Oh, it's not quite that bad.
Well, it feels like
Tarzan couldn't stand this kind of hot.
That's why he's always hot swimming,
when
right?
Yeah. It's hot when it hasn't been hot. I mean,
right.
It's always those first few super hot days that always kind of shock your system, I think.
Well, I think that's what it is. It's all this, the humidity from the rains we had before just makes it feel oppressive.
And I know those of you from humid areas don't think this is that humid, but...
No.
Those of us that are from a more arid climate are thinking it's really
this is humid
stifling.
Colorado.
Yes.
I know...
After a while, you get used to it, but, I mean, I've lived away from the humidity for a long time, and you start to get used to no humidity because it's so pleasant.
Yeah.
So, if the wind was blowing a little bit, it wouldn't be too bad.
It wouldn't be bad.
Yeah.
When your beer is sweating the whole time you're sitting here drinking.
Right.
As much as I'm sweating. that tells you how humid it is.
Definitely.
So we got a little hodgepodge going on here for the table beers. I kind of cleaned out my refrigerator.
Which we appreciate. Thank you very much.
Hey, you bet. I didn't have time to run and grab anything else. So Scott's drinking a White Rascal from Avery, which you said is one of your favorites.
It is my favorite Avery beers. And being a Hefeweizen guy, you know that that's where I tend to lean. But this one is just a really good, almost Hefeweizen, not quite, but close enough for government work, and I really enjoy it. So thank you.
Hey, you bet. I'm drinking my favorite, the Odell IPA, which is just kind of my go-to all the time. Mm-hmm. So I always have some of that in my fridge. And Doc is continuing with the Upslope International Lager Series.
That is. It is part of the International Lager Series, isn't it?
Yep.
This is the Japanese-style rice lager, and it's yummy.
Nice. Yeah.
I should just say. Nice, clean, very, very drinkable beer.
Very good. Good for hot weather.
Mm-hmm.
I think these are all good.
Think about pouring
beers.
It over top of my head here pretty soon.
Cool things off.
Cool things off, yeah.
It is a little warm in the studio.
It is. We've complained to management, and it's fallen on deaf ears because Micah says it's hotter in there than it is over here. So,
yeah.
There are three people in that room, just one in this room.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
And the air in my head isn't that hot.
Well, to be determined.
Yeah.
Did you guys have a good fourth?
Didn't have a bad one, that's for sure.
Yeah,
it was...
It was a little bit rainy and blustery all day long. We weren't too sure whether or not we'd see much in the way of fireworks, but actually did see quite a few fireworks. So that's kind of nice.
Our neighborhood, they managed to squeeze them in between rainstorms and still kind of felt like a battlefield sometimes.
And
I saw the stampede was like posting updates. We're watching the weather. We're going to shoot for a window. And they were able to get one. And so they got...
They did, yeah.
I don't know if they got all of their fireworks off, but they definitely got a good show.
Because it sounds like they canceled... The carnival had closed because the weather, the lightning and everything. And there wasn't a whole lot going on. They were hoping to get that in. So, and I think the country club ended up canceling.
What I think happened, too. We were keeping our eyes open. Arbery's right across the street from them. And never saw anything come out of there. But that's okay. I had a lot of people around. We pretended that we were enjoying the fireworks anyhow. And with all the neighborhoods around there, we still got a chance to see some good show.
Or make your own noises inside the brewery.
Yeah. The fun thing was, is on the way home later that night, probably about 11 o'clock when we got home, everybody else in the neighborhood would kind of start sweeping things up and putting things away.
Yeah.
Because they were trying to shoot for that window because it was going to start raining again. Uh-huh. And they wanted to get them all over and done with rather than let them drag out till 2 or 3 in the morning.
Sure.
So that was kind of nice.
We still got to go to bed. For
we did.
Hour.
We did. And not get woke up by like what sounds like gunfire outside.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So.
Well, good. So I came across an interesting article this morning. And Doc, we were chatting about it a little bit.
And
Scott, before you got here, there's a couple breweries in Mexico that are using an interesting ingredient in their beers, and that ingredient is crickets. and Scott's making a face and noises, which I think a lot of people out there are making. But it seems like crickets are a staple in some regional Mexican cuisine, and I don't know.
I'm hoping that they were like harvested from a farm. And
they are harvested
clean.
From a farm.
They just didn't go run around in the back of the brewery and look for them or something. So, but I just there's enough protein in your beer to begin with. I don't know that you really need to add more protein. But hey,
so I think the whole point was there's an organization in. And the name of the place in Mexico is escaping me. That kind of is pushing as insects as an alternate sort of source of food and protein. And they thought, got together with one of their favorite breweries and said, well, is there something we can do together? And so through testing and things, apparently the flavors they got from the crickets after they roasted them were similar to barley and rye. So that's kind of the direction they went. And in the entire beer is not made of crickets. There is still rye and barley in there and roasted. And it sounds like they made a porter from what I remember.
But they said
reading.
It kind of tasted like more like a stout than a porter because of the crickets.
Yeah, because there's an amino acid in there that's kind of a flavor enhancer.
Oh, okay.
Kind of... And I'm the name of the amino acid's escaping me as well. I just read the article not 10 minutes ago, but that's what the heat does to you, I guess.
Yeah. Replacing 5% of the toasted malt.
Yes.
And then with the base malts and the toasted crickets, the beer takes on a very dark color with this toasted like coffee or cocoa. That
kind of flavors, yeah. Okay.
Now, I've not eaten very many crickets in my lifetime, but I don't remember them tasting like coffee or cocoa.
But I have never roasted a cricket, though. I mean,
now I've had
make little spits for them and
turn it really slow.
Remind me of the flea circus thing. You've got the tiny little cricket spit. Oh my gosh! Oh,
but hey, you know if you know whatever floats your boat. You know, if it works as a great additional protein source, why not use it, right?
Sure, why not?
If it's safe to consume and people like the flavor of it, why not do it? Which is probably why we eat all the foods that we eat to begin with.
That's right.
Right? And we like the flavor of them, and they're healthy and nutritious. Well, some of them are.
So when's the next Rule 105 cricket beer coming out?
I'd have to run that one by the the TTB to make sure crickets are an acceptable addition to a beer here in the States. So
wow.
Something's telling me I'd have to push that one pretty hard.
Yeah.
So
what's the most unique ingredient that you've ever used brewing a beer if not crickets
that you're not going to get in trouble by the FDA or anybody disclosing.
And it could be you brewed at home, it could be somebody.
The most unusual ingredient I've ever put in a beer, nothing very unusual. I tried to stick to more traditional kinds of things. I'm sort of like the, you know,
didn't want to go too crazy.
No, not too crazy. I mean, I've used cherries. I've used almost every fruit you can think of. I've used some spices like sage and oregano and things like that, basil. I'm trying to think. It might take a couple seconds to rack my brain.
Nothing outrageously crickety.
No, nothing crickety. you know, I've used different pieces of wood and stuff like that, you know,
right,
oak and maple and other.
Get the age, or the barrel aging.
Barrel aging kind of thing.
Flavors.
Jequitiba is an interesting wood that I've used. I've used Amberana and a couple other woods like that in the beer. Vanilla, of course. But I don't think I've ever, you know, there's certain things you don't want to put in beer because you might extract some toxic flavor out of them that makes it a potion instead of a beer. So, I mean, I've always wanted to brew a beer with Rocky Mountain oysters. And do a Rocky Mountain oyster stout.
Now,
but I have never done that yet.
Was it the Wynn Coop in Denver?
Yeah, Wynn Coop does it. I believe they serve the Rocky Mountain oysters after they're boiled in the brew house.
Yeah.
So it makes perfect sense. Flavor them with a little bit of beer kind of flavor.
Well, because, you know, stouts kind of go with oysters. And I think that was kind of the thinking behind what they wanted to do.
Right. Well, I think it was also a play on words.
Right.
So stouts go really good with oysters. That's why they call it an oyster stout.
Right.
They don't really cook the oysters in the stout, but...
Don't they? Do they use something, some of the shell in brewing some of those?
Right. So some of those oyster shells, they're made up of calcium carbonate, which is a limestone. A really good source of calcium. And in previous lives... In the previous centuries, it was easier to just take oyster shells, grind them up, and then add them to your beer to kind of help add the extra calcium and a little bit of carbonate to change what the pH might be. But seriously, I'm still trying to think, and I don't know of anything I've ever put in a beer intentionally.
Now, have you heard of anything? I mean, obviously crickets is, in my mind, the most bizarre thing I've ever heard of. But what are some of the more unusual ingredients that you've heard of other people using in beer?
Well, I've heard of other people using things like trying to get away with sausages and stuff like that in your beer or in your mash. Things like that, those don't work very well. They kill the head on the foam on the beer.
Just trying to get that sausage flavor in the beer?
Exactly. I've heard of people trying to put bacon in it, and that's not the way to make a bacon-flavored beer.
Yeah.
I've had bacon-flavored ice cream, and it's not as good as you would think it would be.
No, no. The only kind of bacon flavoring that's good is bacon.
Yes.
And it's not added to anything except your hamburger or your eggs.
Or a BLT.
Or pizza.
I have seen people put eggs. They'll crack them and then throw the eggs in with the beer. The shells somewhat, if they need to, can dissolve. That's another source of calcium. And the egg yolk itself can help bind up some of the proteins and things like that that might make your beer kind of cloudy. So I've seen that kind of thing done before. But I've never really seen anybody go way out there on a limb. I know a lot of people have tried to put marijuana in beer. You can. It does work. But the TTB doesn't like it when you do that.
No, they don't.
So people don't do that.
Yes.
But that's about it. I've seen people put cereal in the beer to make
a... there was a brewery in Fort Collins that does
I think there was a brewery here in town, too, that also made, like, a beer with Fruit Loops or something like that.
Okay.
You can also put cookies. Day-old bread is a good example of things you can do, especially if you can get the day-old bread really inexpensively. It's just another source of starch.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to do.
Well, and we kind of talked about that when we were talking... when we were talking about the first beers a while back, because there's more.
Oh yeah,
that you know that's how we a lot of people think beer started was
right. You made bread
and it got stale and soggy or
stale, soggy, and then started to kind of do some weird things on you. But yeah, I've seen people do that kind of thing, but it's not really weird.
No.
It's just it kind of makes sense.
A lot of those things make sense. The crickets thing to me.
I mean, I've heard of mashed potatoes being added to the beer.
And again, just another source of starch.
Pumpkin, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. All these kinds of things. but nothing out there on a limb like insects. Unless it was accidental. Yeah. You know, a fly.
There were some times in college where I drank a beer that was, you know,
that had a fly
from the
in
night
it.
Before. Yeah. That maybe it was a cigarette butt or or somebody's.
Oh, no, I can't drink anyway. That now.
Yeah. But never crickets or never insects on purpose.
No.
I don't see why you would do that.
Maybe we'll have to see if they import and. It might get be some worth cricket beer. And
it might be worth trying it. I mean,
I'll try anything. Once.
I'll try anything once.
Sure.
I mean, we tried that.
We tried that watermelon beer.
once. So it can't be any worse.
It can't be any worse than that.
Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll talk things that aren't cricket beer, and we'll get close. We'll just hint towards what our review beer is going to be. So stick around. Welcome back to Brew Talk here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios in Midtown Greeley. I didn't say downtown.
You didn't. That
I
was
didn't
good.
Say downtown.
Midtown, we were also like enjoying.
We're getting closer.
Enjoying the view. That's always interesting when we come back out of break and
it
see
is.
How Micah's going to
yes.
air guitar or air drum or whatever the music that we're
or is
our
that
bumper
what that
music.
Was? Yeah.
I don't know what it was.
Knocking his head against the wall because we're talking about crickets and beer.
Yeah, maybe so.
As he silently quaffs his Mountain Dew.
Now, I had a question. I was thinking about this because today is the All-Star Game, and I'm a big baseball fan. So, what is the... Is there a specific or kind of like a beer leader, you think, in the U.S. when it comes to baseball?
Ooh, that's a good question.
A beer leader.
Yeah, like, I mean, who would be the number one in beer sales in, like, when it, as it relates to baseball, whether it's baseball stadiums
at
or something like
Coors
that?
Coors Field?
No, across the league. I don't even think Coors is the best-selling beer at Coors Field, let's be honest. It might be, I don't know.
It's
but,
pretty good beer.
No, I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just...
That's a great question. Because I think it might probably vary from stadium to stadium, wouldn't it? Or...
I think it would, because if you're out on the East Coast near Philadelphia or a place like that, you might be drinking a completely different beer than if you're at Coors Stadium, right? So if you're up north, it might be a Leinenkugel's. You know, I think it's probably regional.
You do? Okay. Well, what about for you guys? What is your favorite baseball beer, or do you have one?
One that doesn't cost more than my parking cost for the day.
Good luck with
which
that.
Which is none of them.
Well, if you,
none
of them. If you go to Coors Field early and you go up to the rooftop, you get 2-for-1 beers, or they're like $5 a piece, so they're not bad.
That's not too bad.
So you go early, you get a bunch of those, and then you kind of don't have to worry about the expensive beers the rest of the game. You just kind of...
Just sit there and eat your hot dogs.
You pregame, you go early, and you drink all your beers early. So that's an option.
See, I usually go for something lighter when I'm at a baseball game, whether it's... Bud Light, Miller Light, Coors Light.
Because you're sitting out there in the
sitting
sun.
Sitting in the sun. You know, you're sweating them out faster than you can drink them.
Yeah.
A lot of the time.
But they also make you a little bit sleepier and tireder and stuff like that.
And that's where the hot dog comes in to give you that boost of energy.
Yeah. Love stadium hot dogs, though.
I don't know. What do you think?
You know, I don't know. I was kind of just asking the question because I know, like, when I go to the Rockies game, that's usually what we do. I'll go with my son or go with somebody else, and the very first thing we do is we beat feet directly for the rooftop section, and we sit up there and have a couple of, you know, cheap beers, and then it might be, you know, a Bud Light or a Coors Light or something else afterwards. And usually it's because they're the biggest beers and the best value for your dollar, as opposed to, I always thought it was ridiculous that at Coors Field you had to pay import prices for a Blue Moon.
Yes.
Yeah.
They have the Sandlot Brewery on property, but
do.
That was still considered
which
an
no
import
longer
beer.
Brews Blue Moon, though.
<I know.
laughs> See, and back when the Sandlot first opened up, that's what we'd do. We'd go watch the game for a few innings, and then we'd end up watching about the sixth inning, we'd go down to the sand lot and just hang out there and watch the rest of the game. So,
You know, I think I've been to a game at in Denver.
Really?
Not for baseball. No, not
yet. We should have to fix that for Doc. You should at least be able to experience a game at Coors Field.
Hmm. Do research at the brewery and do research on the deck there.
Research. I like research. Yeah.
There's tax write-off.
We got Star Wars night coming up on the 29th, and I will be there for different reasons, and so.
It's research.
It is.
Well, I know that the Great American Beer Festival is coming up here pretty soon. Towards the end of the summer.
More research.
So research opportunities abound.
Yeah. I found out Southwest Airlines is actually partnering with the Great American Beer Fest this year. And I think it was yesterday and today that you got early access to tickets.
Oh, really?
That they sent everybody a promo code if you were part of their Rapid Rewards program or whatever. So you could buy a ticket. And then tickets went on sale, I think, to the general public either today or tomorrow for the GABF.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was tomorrow or today, something like that.
Yeah, but it was from Monday to Tuesday or whatever it was, there was like a 24-hour period you could buy tickets if you were a Southwest, frequent flyer.
Not if you're traveling from out of state.
Sure. You know,
there's a package.
Yeah.
Opportunity.
Well, I mean, if you're going to try to get here from out of state, it's nice to get a little early, so you make sure to buy your tickets.
Yep.
Hopefully it comes with a little discount.
Yeah,
because they're not cheap this year. So
it's funny talking about that because over the weekend I was down in Denver with my youngest son, and I was like, I really want to go back by Applejack Liquors, the one there, in Golden.
Sure.
And it was so funny. I was reminiscing about how in the 90s we used to like literally just go over there to get our GABF tickets. It's like you just, once they went on sale, it was like, oh, I'll go over there at some point in time this week and literally walk into the liquor store and pick up your tickets. And now that liquor store is like 10 times the size of what it once was and all the different things. But it was very, very nostalgic for me to walk in there and go, I just remember coming over here for GABF tickets.
Well, and they used to almost give them away.
I know.
And
now it's,
it's sell
like,
out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm assuming they sold out last year. And that they'll do again this year.
It was a little slower last year than in previous years.
But I think that was just because we were kind of coming out of the pandemic. There was a little bit of hesitancy around some of that
Nobody really knew what was going on still.
I have a feeling this year it's going to blow up and it will be sold out quick.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out for
sure. Real soon.
Within the next week, right? Yeah. I know that it would be kind of fun to go down there and do some research/reporting. So you never know. We'll have to see if that's an opportunity in the making.
Well, and the Brewfest coming up here in Greeley fairly soon, isn't there?
Yeah, just in a few weeks.
The NoCo Brewfest. It's coming up here pretty soon, probably about 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now. And then not too long after that, in the month following, we have the Greeley October Brewfest coming. So there's two more beer festivals for us up here.
August 12th is the NoCo Brewfest at Island Grove.
Yeah, so. I've seen the signs floating around town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rule 105 is pouring there.
Yes, you are. I saw that.
Yeah, so we're super stoked. Love the group that's putting this together. I think last year they had a great concept and a great idea, and I think it's going to go wonderful again this year.
And last year was their first year.
They had, behind the scenes, they probably had a couple bugs, but they never let anybody know it outside it that.
Yeah.
Pretty strong professional appearance and did a really outstanding job. And at Island Grove, the festival was underneath the trees.
Yep.
Yeah. So even though it was super warm that day, it didn't feel that way.
Yeah. Well, especially after they turned the sprinklers on, I heard.
Right. They did, which was really
funny. I don't think on purpose, but...
No, it was an accident. It happened right up near the stage where they were playing bands and stuff like that. It just happened for a few minutes. Yeah. So,
and one of my kids was at it last year and said it was a great time. And then they were watching a band and the sprinklers came on and helped cool them off a little bit.
So. I don't think anybody minded.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Well, I know that they had said that, like with their VIP tickets this year, that they were streamlining that process and they were going to set it up so that people could get in quicker. I don't know if they were opening additional lanes for entrance or whatever, but I know that even last year they had talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they recognized that there was a big demand for it and that they needed to make some adjustments and were very open to it. So,
well, yeah, first year you do anything,
yeah,
it's gonna, there's going to be some hiccups.
Yeah, right, I don't think they were expecting 200 people in line, you know, an hour before the VIP hour started.
Well, I will say this, though. There might have been hiccups behind the scene.
Yeah.
Because there always is whenever you hold some event. But I don't think anybody in front of the scene, all the customers, all the vendors, all that kind of stuff, I don't think any of us saw anything that was a hiccup.
Well, that just shows a great event.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was an amazing event.
Always like a duck, calm and cool on the surface, crazy underneath.
Yeah, so when we found out they were going to get ready and do it again, I called them up and said, yeah, put us down.
Yeah, we want to do it again.
We're doing this one again, for sure.
Well, that's great if breweries are you know, the minute they're...
Oh, yeah.
Say they're going to do it again or call them and saying, hey, we want to come back.
Yep.
I think that's great.
I'm really excited.
Speaks a lot to the...
And I saw on the list as well that another Greeley brewery is going to be their Yetter Brewing.
Yeah.
And I know Yetter is working hard to get open here pretty quick.
Oh, yeah, because they're moving locations.
Yeah, they're moving locations, doing some build-out in the new place, and hoping to get all that put together here in the next week or two, I guess. So,
yeah, because they've been closed here since May, I believe.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, it's all construction that they're trying to get done.
Yeah, getting remodeled done.
Yeah.
Because they're going in where the old Subway used to be.
Where the old Subway was downtown, just whatever that is, 9th?
9th and...
Avenue and 10th Street.
10th Street-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, south of...
South of that.
Yeah, they're just... Basically, it's where the old Subway was, right there next to
the... Yeah, it is the old Subway,
They're next to that new... or what used to be one of the city buildings, so...
Which is kind of cool. I mean, they were only a block off of downtown before, and now they're still a block off of downtown, but I think it's closer to where people are.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good move for them.
Yeah, I think so.
So, yeah.
Well, good. Let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll review a beer that Doc's brought in, and it looks like a good one, so stick around. Welcome back to Brew Talk from 103.1 and 1310 KFKA, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. We're about to review a beer that the Doc's brought in. It looks very German.
It is. This is a Weihenstephaner, which is brewed and bottled by the folks in Germany in Freising. It's a Weihenstephan Monastery Brewery was the oldest brewery in, I think it's probably the world, that's had the production of beer since 1040.
Ooh-wee.
Wow.
The monastery was started in about 725, and about 300 years later, in 1040, they managed to get their permit to buy or to sell beer to the consumer. And they've been doing it ever since. And this beer is 5.1% ABV. This is their original premium beer. And it is the world's oldest brewery that's been, except for a couple fires in the 11th century, et cetera, has been continually brewed at Weihenstephan in Germany. So, it pours as a very, very light color, straw color beer with a nice foamy head. I like it a little warmer to drink than other people like their light beers. They like it a little colder. I like it a little warmer. It has an amazing nose. And
it does. It's that pilsner-y, you know, very signature German pilsner aroma.
And it the noble hops that are used with it too, just on the monastery grounds, they've been growing hops since about 768 AD, so that's a long time to perfect how hops are grown. And those are the hops they use in their beer.
Do they grow their grains and such as well?
They're on a hill and overlooking these valleys that are farms and stuff like that. So I would imagine that
back
in the day, this is what they would do. They would gather the grain from local farmers, give it to the monks. Monks would convert some of it into beer. And that's probably where it got where it was. So it's a very smooth drinking. A little sulfury in the nose.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was picking up, and I'm glad you said that, because I was like, I can smell something and I can taste something, but I can't tell what it was.
It could be a little bit of what we call that import skunk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but I just think this beer is so smooth, so rich, but not knock you over intense.
Yeah.
It's not filling. This is a perfect beer for sitting on the patio on a hot summer day.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Or watching the All-Star game or something like that.
Here's a great baseball beer we were just talking.
There you go.
What? How do you say it?
Weihenstephaner.
Weihenstephaner. I would never have said that.
The word stretches across the entire label, not just a portion of it.
And starts with a W.
Amazing beer. I found it in local liquor stores here. Seems like you can always find Weihenstephaner there. They make a Hefeweizen as well.
Okay, and maybe that's where I recognize the name, because I thought I recognized the name. I just couldn't quite figure out.
I prefer the one that's in the blue bottle or the blue label.
Mm-hmm.
That's just their standard Pilsner-ish premium lager.
Yeah.
Scott, any thoughts?
Not as big a fan as you guys are.
No.
And I think, I don't know if it's the skunky, I don't know if it's the sulfur smell, or if it's like heavy on the barley or the hops, and this is where I show my ignorance on what I'm smelling and what I'm tasting, but that kind of that bitter taste that's definitely not, you know, hops from like an IPA would be, but there's something in there that just makes it a little bit less smooth from my perspective in what I like and prefer. It's got a little bit of a bite to it.
Yeah, this beer is very malt forward. So it's you taste the malts up front, and then when you finish, it's a little bitter on the back.
Mm-hmm.
So
that hop bite.
The hop bite at the end, or astringency that you taste, which just makes your mouth dry, and now you need another sip.
It does do that, so I will absolutely give the beer that. So it's kind of hard going,
It's like having the pretzel without the pretzel. You just want more.
You just want more of the cheese sauce.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, what about you, Chad?
I'm enjoying it. I do get that importiness, you know, that skunky, that sulfury. But I think over the years of drinking beers, I've kind of learned to enjoy it. I don't know if that's the right way to say
it. Turn a blind eye to it.
Yeah. You know, and there's definitely beers where it's a lot stronger. This is a dark brown bottle, and there are clear bottles and green bottles that you get a lot stronger that importiness.
Agreed.
You know, I think this is a great, like you said, a great patio beer, a great baseball, all-star game watching beer. For me, I would prefer it a little colder. And I know you said you like it a little warmer.
I like it a little warmer, just to highlight the maltiness and the bitterness at the end.
I think from what I'm tasting and I'm enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
So
I would imagine that this would be a fantastic beer that you could pair well with a food. And I'm feeling like that, you know, I know you guys do that a lot at the tavern where you do the beer pairings and stuff like that. I could see this when you could find a really good food to pair with it. It would just be phenomenal. It would really bring all of the positives of this beer forward, and it would just complement something really well.
I wonder what some pickle juice would do to this beer. That could be kind of good.
Oh, that could be kind of good. Because there is a lot of, in German food, there's a lot of that sourness. Mm-hmm.
And adding a little bit of a soury bite into the beer might give it a completely different characteristic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. To go with what you were saying, Scott, I think this beer would pair with so many different things. You know, from a simple bratwurst all the way up to sauerbraten, even.
Yeah. I keep thinking that, like Doc just said, the a sour or a salty kind of meal, something like that would just really, really help that.
Yep. Give it a little something extra.
You're saying I should have brought pretzels and cheese dip.
Maybe so. I would not say no to those right now. That's what I'm saying.
That would work. It really would. But I agree with you. This is I like to drink this beer on its own, but I could see how pairing it with some food of some sort would elevate it even beyond that.
Well, I might be biased as a food professional, but I think pairing any beer with food kind of highlights and accentuates both the beer and the food. It kind of changes the flavor of both. Well, not really changes the flavor, but
enhances
mm-hmm. and makes you appreciate the flavors of both of them a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the difference between probably where I'm at with the beer and where Doc's at the beer, where Doc's going, this is a great beer on its own, would just enhance it. I'm like, I'm not sure I would have this on its own, but I would absolutely have it with a food that really complemented it really well and paired well
or
with it.
Or pour it over your bratwursts and cook your onions and your bratwursts with this beer. Yeah.
Yes. And then have another one.
Yeah, this is a great beer to cook with as well.
Agreed. Yeah, that's where I could see that. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think it's good.
Yeah. Good beer. Beer. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll give you our final thoughts on the beer. And talk more beer, because this is Brew Talk on 1310 KFKA. In the interest of keeping the peace, Micah, I'm not going to do that. But welcome back to Brew Talk. Micah wanted me to call that band something else.
Asia, maybe?
Perhaps.
Asia. I was expecting it, so I was completely prepared.
You were ignoring us all until we actually got into the meat of things.
We would, whatever. I just think it's a perfect song for us, and the only thing I'd like Micah to do is start it a little bit later, like in the middle of that lyric, so then it's like, when I get home at 5 o'clock and take myself out a nice cold beer. I just feel like that's a perfect bumper song for Brew Talk. But anyway,
why not?
I like it. I'm not upset.
I love
I love listening to Rush, so I'm good.
Absolutely.
Or Asia, whatever.
Or Asia. Toto. Oh, they're all good.
All those bands sound the same anyway, right? Scott's about to kill me.
I'm done. So let's
In Living Color, they're all good.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, I know it's not them.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Milli Vanilli? We want to go all the way and start insulting people. There we go.
Holy cow. It's getting ugly in here. Let's get back to the beer. Any final thoughts before we lay out our...
Well, you kind of know where I sit with this beer because it is just this... I just love the idea of, as I was saying during break, of going down to your local liquor store and finding a beer from a brewery that's almost 1,000 years old. And they've been making the same kind of recipes ever since. And you'd think they'd perfected it by now.
Yeah. You'd think so.
And it's kind of cool. You can go down to the liquor store and grab some and just come on back to the house, sit on the patio, and have one.
983 years of brewing.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty impressive.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
All right. We should vote.
Let's vote.
All right.
On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Doc?
I got a keg.
I'm a growler. And I'm a growler, and I know that's going to shock you guys. I know it's going to shock you guys, but as I was thinking about it, I was like, I would want a chance to have more of this.
Yeah.
To really get to taste it, to really get to appreciate and understand it. So that's kind of where I was at. Because I was like, this is a solo cup for me. I think that's where I'm landed. But then
that's kind of where I thought you were going to go.
Yeah. Imagine that was the case. But even when we were talking during the break about it, I was like, no, there's a way more to this than what I'm giving it credit for on my very first try. So I would go that route.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, so, great. Yeah.
I think that's what Brew Talk's all about.
It is. It?
Yeah, and didn't that make it Brew Talk approved?
That does make it.
It did.
Yeah. Very quaffable.
Very quaffable.
Would that be a crushable beer? Because I'm not sure it's crushable.
Oh, good question.
So
I think if you wanted to, you could crush it.
How you defined a crushable, yeah. I think, would determine whether it is or not. Is it a session? No, it's not a session. So
yeah.
Is it crushable? Well, I can have two
yeah.
in an evening. I don't think I could have more than that.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't call it a session beer. I don't know. I feel like this is like, it's almost like an investment. You're going to invest some time. Mm-hmm. You're going to enjoy it. And again, I'm like, I want to go get some of this from the local liquor store now that I know I can get it, and then literally pair it with like some beer brats or something salty for a meal one night and just see how that does.
Gigantic pretzels and the cheese sauce, but not that icky cheese sauce. Really good cheese sauce.
No, you need to make good cheese sauce. Yes.
Good cheese sauce.
Yeah, real queso. No, agreed.
Stay away from the icky.
Make your own if you have to. Come
Nobody
on.
Likes yep. icky.
I agree.
Nobody likes icky.
No. Yeah, you don't want it to like come out in chunks and then right. when it gets cold, it chunks back up.
Yeah,
chunks. Nobody likes that.
No, you don't want that.
No.
In fact, there was one, sorry, I'm changing the subject here, but there was this one brewery I went to, Harpoon Brewing Company in Boston. Mm-hmm. And there they have, the tap house mm-hmm. there. And even when they were small, they still had their beer taps where you could order your beer. And they also had one food item on the menu, and it was fresh-baked pretzels. Mm-hmm. And they would actually make them to order. So when you ordered one, then they'd put it in and make it and then bring it to
really?
You.
Really?
With cheese.
Wow.
It was and mustard, yeah. And it was so good.
Now, was it regular mustard or like spicy brown mustard?
Well, I don't know if spicy is the right word, but it was homemade brown mustard kind of thing.
Okay.
So, you know, where you ferment the
yep.
the seeds together and then blend off half of it and mix mm-hmm. back in. Yeah.
Nice.
Really nice mustard.
I'm getting hungry.
I know, right? See, it would go really good with this.
It would. It absolutely would.
It absolutely would.
That's a great approach to that. See, that's where I'm at, and that's kind of why I like doing this show, is we try different beers, get to talk about different pairings, different elements, and it's like, yeah, that would be really good. That would be really good to try it like that or to do that differently or even just like the temperature of the beer. I was looking at the bottle and it literally says, you know, keep cool, but literally want you to serve it between 46 and 52 degrees Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
you know. A little warmer.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's what that's because it just releases all the flavors, I think. Now, I wouldn't serve this beer if I was eating roast crickets. I'm just letting you know there.
Now, I don't know.
Do you think the roast crickets would go well?
I think the roast crickets would actually go really well with this. Hmm.
What about chocolate-covered crickets?
Chocolate-covered ants, maybe?
Maybe.
I remember, like, in high school doing future studies, and we had to eat, like, chocolate-covered ants and chocolate-covered crickets and those things, because it was like, this is the power food of the future.
In my high school, we ate hot dogs and hamburgers. And none of them were made with
none of them
crickets
were made with
on
crickets.
Purpose.
Okay, that's what I had for lunch.
But. Well, now, wait a minute. Hot dogs. I think we know for a fact that there's a certain allowance of...
Yes, there is a certain allowance with all foods, but if anybody has said on purpose.
Yeah, if anybody's ever seen the movie The Great Outdoors, you know exactly what hot dogs are made out of. The raccoons right. told us.
Oh, dear.
Now, I've actually had crickets... In Mexico.
Oh, you have?
And they taste kind of like popcorn.
Huh.
Was my experience with them. They were just like a little snacky. Yeah.
Were they good?
Kind of like popcorn.
You would purposefully go order them again? So we're talking, we're not talking a pint cup. We're talking more like a taster cup on this one.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, okay. You know, it's... Like, you're sitting at the bar, and there's a bowl full of nuts. You're sitting at the bar, and there's a bowl full of crickets. You just got to pick a few.
They're roasted, so they're not, like, moving around. Okay,
No, they're roasted. They're
they got the tiny spits in the back that they're roasting at the time on.
Sorry, I had to go full circle there. Because
yes, you did. Way to bring it back around. I appreciate that.
No, there's not a lot to them. There's not a lot of...
Yeah, I just can't imagine.
Not a lot of flavor, not a lot of anything to them. Yeah. Just something crunchy to eat while you're sitting at the bar.
You know, but the article that you sent to both of us, I was reading in there that apparently it takes 4% of the normal like production energy to turn crickets into the same amount of protein that you could for cattle of beef.
Is that right?
Yeah. So it was like way more economical, which I'm still not on board with. I don't care.
But I'm not putting the beef in my beer, though.
I know. It was kind of odd, but that's what they were. The amount of protein took 4%.
So what you're saying is we probably won't see cricket burgers at McDonald's here anytime soon.
Not for the short-term future.
I hope not. Well, if we do, I'm not ordering one. Sorry.
I'd give it a shot. Hey, thanks for tuning in, everybody. It's another edition of Brew Talk. We'll see you next time. I'm Chad. He's Doc. He's Scott. Have a great night.